أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In the previous Friday sermon, I presented accounts of the humility and meekness of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as his guidance in this regard. And today I will also mention some accounts and some of his guidance in relation to this. Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib relates that the excellent moral qualities of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam were such that even when those people who were ever engaged in opposing the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in Qadian and did not spare any such opportunity, when they would come and knock at his door, I observed that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would meet them immediately barefoot, and as soon as he saw them, he would reply to their greeting with utmost kindness and ask if they and their families were well and healthy. Following this, he would inquire of them why they had come to visit him. They would then express their need, and upon this he would ask them how much money they needed, and he would give them more than what they needed, and say that if you need more, then take more. Thus, he would treat even his opponents with utmost kindness, and he would always present himself before them with modesty, and never display any kind of arrogance. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib relates that he heard Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib say that Maulvi Sher Ali Sahib told him once that Mira Bakhsh Sudai, who was mentally impaired, was once coming from the main mosque and called the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam by his name. And he did so rather disrespectfully, since he was mentally impaired, so what else could be expected? In any case, he shouted that, "O Ghulam Ahmed," the promised Messiah alayhi salam immediately stood up and replied, "Yes." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam took no offense at all and asked, "What do you wish to say?" He replied in Punjabi that you should first extend the salam, a greeting of peace. This poor man considered himself to be a person of authority. And so the promised Messiah alayhi salam said, "Assalamu alaikum." The man then said, "Pay the muamla, i.e. tax." Landowners had to pay this muamla, which was a form of tax from the government. In any case, upon hearing this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam took out a handkerchief from his pocket and gave him 4 or 8 annas. The man rejoiced and returned, singing couplets of praise. Thus, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam never took offense even at the words of a mentally impaired individual and would even stop for such a person. Master Nazir Hussain Sahib relates that whenever I accompanied my father to visit the promised Messiah alayhi salam in Qadian, and if he was informed that Hakim Marme Isa Sahib had arrived, I have always observed that as soon as he was informed, he would immediately come out to receive him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam would also offer him something to eat, and on some occasions, he would personally go and bring the food himself. He further writes that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would meet his guests with such simplicity that at times I saw him coming out holding a pen in his hand, and at other times he would come out barefoot. That is, if he was seated in a room at home, he would come out in that very state upon hearing a knock at the door. And if the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was in the mosque and a guest arrived, he would often stand up and shake hands with him. Similarly, if he was engaged in conversation with someone else and a guest arrived and sat beside him and shook his hand, he would immediately turn his attention towards him and inquire after his health and well-being. In short, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would receive anyone visiting him with utmost humility. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib relates that I remember that on one occasion I had come to Qadian from Lahore. This was probably in 1897 or 1898. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam seated me in the Mubarak Mosque. The mosque was small at that time. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then said, "Please take a seat and I shall bring some food." Having said this, he went inside and I assumed that he would send the food through one of his attendants. However, after a few minutes when the door opened, I saw him carrying a tray of food with his own hands and bringing it to me personally. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam looked at me and said, "Please start eating and I will bring some water." He says that out of affection, tears started flowing involuntarily. That if the promised Messiah alayhi salam, who is our guide and leader, is serving us in this manner, then to what extent should we serve one another? Another narration illustrating the simplicity and humility of the promised Messiah alayhi salam is related by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with reference to a lady named Mai Boli, i.e. Mai Jeevan Sahiba. She stated that once when Hazur alayhi salam came to our village, I roasted some newly harvested wheat and brought it to him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam had come to our village and he distributed it among those who were with him, tasted some himself and expressed his pleasure. When Hazur would come for a walk in the area, he would offer the Ishraq, a voluntary pre-noon prayer in our simple mud mosque, and we would present him with saag and roti, a spinach dish and bread, and he would never show any displeasure or reluctance. Rather, he would gladly accept our hospitality. Hazrat Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib of Kapurthala relates that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would not sit with the door open. In other words, he would not sit with the door open. Rather, he would always sit with the door locked. He further relates that Hazrat Sahibzada Mia Mahmood Sahib would come every little while and say that Abba opened the door, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam would get up and open it. On one occasion, I came to visit him, and Hazur alayhi salam was sitting on a simple mat, and upon seeing me, he lifted a bedstead himself and carried it inside. I submitted that, "Hazur, I can carry it," and he replied that, "It's too heavy, you will not be able to lift it." He then told me to sit on the bed, and after placing it down, he seated me upon it and said, regarding himself, that, "I'm comfortable sitting down here on the floor, and you may sit on the bed." He says that at first I declined, but the promised Messiah alayhi salam insisted, saying that, "Please sit without hesitation," and so I complied. I was feeling thirsty and glanced towards the water pots, but there was no drinking vessel nearby. Seeing this, Hazur alayhi salam asked that, "Are you thirsty? I will bring some water." The promised Messiah alayhi salam then went downstairs to the women's quarters and brought back a glass. After that, he said, "Wait a moment," and he went downstairs again and returned with two bottles of sweet cordial that someone had sent from Manipur. It was a very delicious drink, and the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated that these bottles have been kept there for a long time because we had intended that we would first serve them to a friend before drinking them ourselves, and today I remembered them. And so he then prepared a drink from the cordial and offered it to me, and he said that he would first give this gift he received to a friend to drink before drinking it himself. I submitted that, "Hazur, please drink some first." In other words, he told the promised Messiah alayhi salam to drink first from the glass in which he poured the drink, and only then would he drink from it. The promised Messiah alayhi salam took a sip and then handed the glass to me, and I drank from it. When I praised the drink, he said that, "Take one bottle with you and serve the friends outside." From those two bottles, he had perhaps taken only that single sip. Following his instruction, I took the bottles away. Similarly, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib relates that Aisha Sahiba, daughter of Ahmad Jan Sahib, narrated that in 1906, when my mother passed away, Ammaji, the wife of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took me to her home. She arranged breakfast and looked after me. And then 4 or 5 days later, Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala anha, took me into her own house. At the place where the kitchen now stands, Hazrat Ammajan was having my hair washed. A woman was pouring water over my head, while Hazrat Ammajan herself was washing the hair of this girl whose mother had passed away. Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala anha, would apply soap to my hair and wash it. However, the woman who was helping pouring the water was pouring too much water, and the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was walking nearby. When he noticed this, he took the water vessel from her and began pouring the water over my head himself, slowly and gently, while Hazrat Ammajan Ummul Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala anha, combed my hair. And the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, stated that in this way the lice will come out. Because her mother had been ill for a long time before passing away, there had been no one to properly care for her, and lice may have developed in her hair. And also in those days, it was also a common occurrence in that region. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore instructed that wash the hair in this manner and continue combing it like this, and the lice will come out. Thus, he had no hesitation in helping even with household chores. Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib relates that once I was searching for water for ablution and holding a jug in my hand, and I entered through that door which leads from Masjid Mubarak to the private quarters of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, intending to hand the jug to one of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's attendants so that they might bring water from inside. Incidentally, the promised Messiah alayhi salam came out from within and seeing me standing there asked that, "Do you need water?" I replied that, "Yes, Your Holiness." The promised Messiah alayhi salam took the jug from my hand and said that I will bring it myself. He then went inside, filled it with water, and brought it back to me. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib relates that Murad Khatun Sahiba, the respected wife of Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, stated that once Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anha and everyone present together ate mangoes. It was mango season, and at that time they were mostly the kind of mangoes that are sucked rather than cut. In the courtyard, 2 or 3 piles of peels and seeds accumulated. Many women were sitting there, and a large number of flies began to gather. They became engaged in conversation and did not immediately think about cleaning up. She said that she was also sitting there at the time, and some female attendants were also present. There were female workers and attendants present at the time. During this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam came, and when he saw this, he himself took a jug and mixed some disinfectant in it and poured it over the piles of mango peels in the courtyard with his own hand so that the flies would go away and the place would be cleaned and not create any smell. Instead of saying anything to anyone, he demonstrated through his own action that cleanliness should be done promptly. Here, alongside his humility, his attention to hygiene is also evident. A delegation which included some notable citizens of Lahore, among them Dr. Allama Iqbal and Sir Shahabuddin, came to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Describing this meeting, Babu Ghulam Muhammad Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that after dinner at night, when the charpai, i.e. the traditional woven beds, were distributed, I took a strong and large charpai. However, Chaudhary Shahabuddin Sahib, who was later known as Sir Shahabuddin, took it from me and occupied my bed instead. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam came and inquired from everyone whether they were comfortable, and everyone said that they were fine. But when he reached me, I was standing worried because my charpai, i.e. bed, had been taken by Chaudhary Shahabuddin. I said that, "Your Holiness, my bed has been taken by Chaudhary Shahabuddin, and I am wondering where I would sleep." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Wait, I will bring you a charpai for you." And so the promised Messiah alayhi salam went away, and quite some time passed without a charpai, i.e. bed, arriving. I then looked through the courtyard door of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's residence and saw that a man quickly making a charpai while the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sitting beside him, holding a lamp in his hand and lighting the way for him. Seeing this, I felt deeply ashamed. I stepped forward as the door was open and I said, "Your Holiness, please give me this lamp." But the promised Messiah alayhi salam replied that only one round is left now. observing these noble morals of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, had such an impact on me that tears came to my eyes. And looking at the promised Messiah alayhi salam's blessed countenance, I kept saying to myself that this can never be the face of a liar. The testimony of the late Mirza Ismail Beg, who served the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, is as follows. Prior to his claim, when the promised Messiah alayhi salam, in obedience to his father's instruction, would travel to pursue legal cases, there would often be a horse as a means of transport, and I would generally be in his company. But whenever he set out, the promised Messiah alayhi salam would do so on foot, and he would have me ride the horse while he walked himself. He says that I would repeatedly refuse and submit that, Hazur, I feel ashamed. The promised Messiah alayhi salam would reply that I feel no shame in walking on foot. Why should you feel shame in riding? And whenever he set out from Qadian, the promised Messiah alayhi salam would always have me mount first. And when rather less or more than half the distance had been covered, I would dismount and he would ride. And in the same way, when returning from court, he would first have me ride the mount, and then he would ride on the mount himself afterwards. And when he did ride, he would let the horse go at whatever pace it naturally walked, so that as I walked alongside him, I would not be put into any kind of difficulty. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib relates that Maulvi Sher Ali Sahib told him that whenever the promised Messiah alayhi salam needed to inquire about something from Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib, instead of calling for him to come, the promised Messiah alayhi salam would himself go to Maulvi Sahib's small room. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further states that I should mention that during the lifetime of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib used to reside in a part of his house, i.e. the promised Messiah alayhi salam had given him one of the rooms, and his working office was in the small chamber situated to the east of Masjid Mubarak. He says that it was there that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would himself go to him. And it is a matter of regret that Maulvi Sahib did not draw the lesson from the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's humility that he ought to have drawn, and in the end, his pride brought about his own ruin. The editor of Al-Hakam writes regarding the simplicity of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that when he went out for a walk, there was no distinction maintained. No one was required to keep back. And indeed, there were times when eminent companions would notice that dust was being kicked up while they walked and the promised Messiah alayhi salam was behind them. Dust would rise from the unpaved roads. Yet, the promised Messiah alayhi salam never gave even a passing thought to such a thing. It frequently happened that people walking behind him would accidentally knock against him, or his shoe would come off by someone's foot knocking against his, or his walking stick would fall from a knock. Yet, no one ever saw or heard him express the least displeasure or show any particular preference. He never said that, can you be a little more mindful? On many occasions in the mosque, it so happened that he was seated among the companions and a stranger arrived, who went forward and shook hands first with Maulana Maulvi Abdul Karim or Hazrat Hakim ul Ummat, i.e. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, supposing one of them to be the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And those two elders would then point out where the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was seated. In short, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam always made the conduct of his master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his own conduct. And it was that very example he displayed throughout his life. Then there is the narration from Dr. Bisharat Ahmed Sahib as follows. That the wife of Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan of Malerkotla passed away. The promised Messiah alayhi salam went to the graveyard with the funeral procession and led the funeral prayer himself. The grave was not yet ready, and I too was with the funeral procession. He says people became occupied in looking at the grave, and I too turned my attention in that direction. After a little while, when I looked around, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was nowhere to be seen. I looked about anxiously, and then caught sight of the promised Messiah alayhi salam sitting alone on the ground in one corner of the garden. I quickly spread a white sheet beneath a tree and went to him, submitting that there is direct sun here. Please come and sit in the shade of the tree over there. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said that yes, that is right, and came and sat on the sheet in the shade of the tree. I sat down nearby, and he says that before long, when people noticed the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sitting beneath the tree, they began coming over to him. And now, as each person arrived, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would say to them that, "Come, please sit here." And he himself would shift back, seating the newcomer on the sheet. People continued to arrive, and he continued to move back and seat each one on the sheet, until after no great length of time, I looked and found that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sitting on the bare earth while all his companions sat upon the sheet. Those who came, absorbed in the joy and eagerness of visiting and meeting him, did not notice what was happening, that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had moved to the ground while they sat on the sheet. But he says that I was watching in and inwardly being greatly affected by this, and at the same time my faith was growing that what a station Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon him and what depths of meekness and humility reside within his soul. During the days when the debate with Abdullah Atam was taking place in Amritsar, Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib relates an incident from that time. He says that we were staying most probably at the house of Karim Bakhsh when Colonel Altaf Ali Khan joined our company and said to me that he wished to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salam in private. The colonel was wearing a coat and trousers and was clean shaven, and I said to him that please go inside, we shall not allow anyone else to come in from outside. And so the colonel went in and remained alone with the promised Messiah alayhi salam for close to half an hour. When the colonel came out, his eyes were brimming with tears streaming down his face. I asked him that what was discussed between you, that you are in such a state. He said that when I went inside, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sitting deep in his thoughts on a reed mat, though in truth only his knee was on the mat and the rest of him on the ground. And I said, "Your Holiness is sitting on the ground." The promised Messiah alayhi salam, thinking that perhaps as a colonel I would not wish to sit on the mat, took off his turban cloth, unwinding his turban, and spread it on the ground, saying to me, "Now please sit here, Colonel. Perhaps you do not wish to sit on the mat. Here, let me spread this cloth, so please sit upon it." Removing the cloth from his own head and spreading it on the ground, the colonel said that upon seeing this, my tears flowed and I submitted that although I have been baptized, meaning I had accepted Christianity, but I am not so bereft of faith as to sit upon your holiness's turban cloth. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam replied, "There is nothing wrong with it, no harm at all, please sit quite freely." In any case, he says that I moved the cloth aside with my hand and sat upon the mat and began to tell him of my condition, that I drink heavily and commit other sins as well, and that I know nothing of God or the Prophet by name, but I now declare before you that I repent of Christianity and become a Muslim. Despite all that, I embraced Christianity, but now having seen your state and heard your words, I become a Muslim. However, the vices that have taken hold of me seem very difficult to leave behind. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated that recite istighfar, I seek forgiveness, and form the habit of offering the five daily prayers. This is the remedy that if sins have taken root and a person has strayed from religion, then let him recite istighfar abundantly and pay focus to his prayers. He says that for as long as I sat in his presence, my state kept changing and I wept continuously. And in that very state, I made the pledge that I would certainly recite istighfar and offer my prayers. This I pledged, and having taken his leave, I departed. And the impression made upon my heart that day remains with me still. This colonel had attended that very debate and used to sit on the side of the Christians, but he inherently possessed a good nature, and Allah the Almighty enabled him to accept Islam once again. Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib Sialkoti relates an incident from 1896 or thereabouts, as he published this account in 1900 and was describing something that had occurred 4 years earlier. He writes that the members of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's household had gone to Ludhiana, and it was the month of June, and the inner portion of the home had recently been built. In the afternoon, I lay down on a charpayee bed that had been laid out there, and at the time the promised Messiah alayhi salam was leisurely walking nearby. At one point when I woke up, I saw that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was lying on the floor beneath my bed. Startled, I sat up out of respect. And with great affection, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam asked, "Why have you got up?" I submitted that, "How can I remain asleep on a bed while you are lying below?" Smiling, he replied that, "I was keeping watch over you, for the boys were making noise, and I was stopping them from so that your sleep would not be disturbed." Hazrat Munshi Imam Deen Sahib describes the scene at the time of his pledge of allegiance as follows: that in 1894, I pledged allegiance, I did the bayat at the blessed hands of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He says that my brother Munshi Abdul Aziz Sahib and Bhai Jamaluddin Sahib of Sikhwan were with me until it was the time for the evening prayer. After the prayer had been offered, Munshi Sahib gestured towards me and submitted to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that, "Your Holiness, please accept his pledge of allegiance." The promised Messiah alayhi salam said that, "Let him come inside." And when I entered the Baitul Fikr alone, the promised Messiah alayhi salam sat near the foot of the bed and instructed me to sit at the head of it. At first, I hesitated, but when the promised Messiah alayhi salam repeated the instruction, I sat down. He then took my pledge of allegiance, and I was astonished to see this kind of treatment from the promised Messiah alayhi salam. For on the one hand were those so-called spiritual guides beside whom no one could even sit as an equal, and on the other hand was Allah the Almighty's promised Messiah, who seated an insignificant servant at the head of the bed in a better seat. Although my brother Munshi Abdul Aziz Sahib had not entered the room, but he was observing this scene from outside. Hazrat Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib states that once in Ludhiana, the late Munshi Arora Sahib and I submitted to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that at some point Your Holiness should pay a visit to Kapurthala. In those days, the railway had not yet reached Kapurthala. The promised Messiah alayhi salam promised that we should certainly visit one day. Shortly thereafter, the promised Messiah alayhi salam came to Kapurthala, and without informing us in advance, he arrived by horse carriage, and after alighting at the carriage stand, he went to the Fateh Wali Mosque in Nazdika Khan area of Kapurthala. Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib was accompanying him. From the mosque, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam sent the local cleric, who was not an Ahmadi, to inform either Munshi Arora Sahib or Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib of his arrival. He continues to relate that Munshi Arora Sahib and I were at the court office where we worked as shorthand writers when the cleric came and informed us that Mirza Sahib is present in the mosque and he has sent me to inform you. Astonished, Munshi Arora Sahib said in Punjabi with a tone of displeasure that, "Would Mirza Sahib really come and stay at your mosque? How could that be? Do not lie." However, I said that we should at least go and see. And so, Munshi Sahib quickly tied his turban and set out with me. He further relates, "When we entered the mosque, we saw that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was lying on the floor, while Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib was pressing his feet. Nearby there was a bowl and a spoon from which it seemed that perhaps he had taken a drink of milk or eaten bread soaked in it. Munshi Arora Sahib submitted that if Your Holiness was going to come this way, you should have informed us, for we would have come to Kartarpur Station to receive you." The promised Messiah alayhi salam replied that, "What need was there to inform you? I had made a promise to you, and I had to fulfill it, and now I have fulfilled it." The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "My own condition is such that if someone is in pain and their voice reaches my ears while I am occupied in prayer, I desire to render whatever benefit I can do to that person, even if that means breaking my prayer to do so, and show as much sympathy to that person as possible. It is contrary to good morals not to support one's brother in his suffering and distress. If you cannot do anything for him, then at least pray for him, let alone one's own people. I say that you should display the highest standards of moral conduct even towards strangers and Hindus, and show them sympathy. One must never have a careless or indifferent disposition." This was not merely an advice, rather, as is evident from all the accounts that have been narrated, that this was the very practice which the promised Messiah alayhi salam adopted. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further writes that once I was going out for a walk and Patwari Abdul Karim was with me. He was walking slightly ahead and I was behind. On the way, an elderly woman met us. She must have been 70 or 75 years old, and she asked the Patwari to read a letter for her, but he rebuked her and turned her away. This pained my heart deeply. And when I reached near her, she handed me the letter and I took it, stopped there, read it, and explained it to her properly. The Patwari was greatly embarrassed at this, for he had to stop anyway, and he was deprived of the rewards as well. Had he read the letter with humility, it would have been better for him. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib states, this humble one submits that whenever the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam met someone, he did so with a smile, and at once the worries and distress of the person meeting him would disappear. Every Ahmadi felt that upon entering his company, all the griefs of the heart were washed away. The moment one's eyes fell upon his smiling countenance, a wave of joy would course through the entire body. It was the habit of the promised Messiah alayhi salam to listen attentively even to the most ordinary person and to reply with great affection. Each person felt in his own way that the promised Messiah alayhi salam loved him more than anyone else. Some people, unaware of the etiquette required in the gatherings of the prophets of Allah and being simple and unlettered, would continue narrating irrelevant stories at great length. Yet, the promised Messiah alayhi salam would sit quietly and listen, and he would never say to anyone that they should cease talking. On one occasion, a man came into the presence of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and he lowered his head and tried to place it upon his feet. The promised Messiah alayhi salam moved his head away with his hand and said, "This is not permissible. One should say, 'Peace be upon you,' and shake hands." Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib writes that a poor Ahmadi man from Kashmir, who was tall in height and possessed deep sincerity, would walk the entire distance from his village to Qadian by foot. His name perhaps was Akalju. Once, he had arrived in Qadian at a time one morning when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was setting out to go for a walk. That Kashmiri man was also standing in the square outside, and when he saw the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, he was overcome with love, and as he wept, he placed his head upon the promised Messiah alayhi salam's feet. The promised Messiah alayhi salam bent down, lifted him up and said that this is not permissible. One should not prostrate before any human being. That is, a person must never prostrate before anyone, nor bow down at anyone's feet. Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib Sialkoti writes, there was once an occasion when an individual came to our mosque who was infatuated and accustomed to visiting ascetics and the custodians of shrines seen in the world today. He further writes, when he came to our mosque, the man was surprised to see the people conversing with the promised Messiah alayhi salam so freely, and said to him that there is a lack of respect in your mosque, for people speak to you without any kind of fear. The man, who was accustomed to sitting in the gatherings of religious leaders, he said to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that there is no respect in his mosque. People were sitting in his gathering candidly and conversing with him without any kind of fear. He was implying that they were not showing the promised Messiah alayhi salam due respect. The promised Messiah alayhi salam responded that it is not my practice to sit in a fierce and frightful manner so that people should fear me, as they are terrified of a beast. I extremely detest the idea of sitting like an idol, for I have come to abolish idol worship, not so that I should become an idol myself and people worship me. Allah the Exalted knows well that I do not give myself preference over others even in the slightest. In my opinion, there is no worse an idol worshipper and no one more wicked than an arrogant person. An arrogant person does not worship any god at all. In fact, he only worships himself. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib narrates an account of Munshi Zafar Ahmad Sahib. He states that on one occasion, upon his return from Delhi, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam alighted at Amritsar. Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, was also accompanied by him. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam took one of his sons into his lap, who was perhaps Mia Bashir Ahmad Sahib, and took a heavy bag under his other arm. That is to say, he lifted the child on one side and lifted the bag on the other, and directed me, saying that you may take the pandan, a box containing betel leaf and other essentials. Munshi Zafar Sahib was present at the time, and so he directed him to take the pandan, which was small. I submitted, "Your Holiness, kindly give the bag to me." But the promised Messiah alayhi salam replied, "No." Upon my requesting once or twice, the promised Messiah alayhi salam repeated the same answer. In any case, I held the pandan and we set off. In the meantime, two or three young Englishmen who were present at the station said to me that ask His Holiness to stand still for a moment. And so I submitted that Your Holiness, they are asking if His Holiness may stand still for a moment. His Holiness stood still, and the Englishmen were also at the same station. In that very condition, they took a photograph of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, whilst he held a child and also his bag. They desired to take a photograph of him. Despite his great simplicity, those people were impressed by the promised Messiah, alayhi salam's personality, and they remarked that we desire to take a photograph of this honorable gentleman. Hazrat Malik Mola Bakhsh Sahib narrates that a gentleman named Mia Jan Muhammad used to reside opposite our house in Amritsar, and he would talk a lot. He had practically memorized the book of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam's Surma Chashma Arya, and despite being illiterate, he used to debate vigorously with the Aryas. He developed a psychiatric ailment, it was a form of depression whereby a manic state would ensue. And whenever he met someone, he would relate the details of his ailment in a very long and detailed manner, making them stand for a considerable time. And so people would grow weary of him listening to him, and they began to avoid him. Someone suggested that he should go to Qadian and seek the treatment from Hazrat Molvi Hakim Nuruddin Sahib. He replied that he is a man of high standing. When will he listen to my tale? He said that why would Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiyallahu ta'ala no listen to his lengthy tale? That person responded that no, he is a man of excellent morals and he will certainly listen to you. Therefore, that man came to Qadian, and it so happened that when he arrived and alighted from the horse carriage, at that very moment, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, accompanied by his companions, was returning from a walk. The driver of the horse carriage remarked the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was coming. And so the gentleman alighted from the carriage and went straight to shake his hand and began to relate the condition of his illness in the anxious manner that he would. And he began to recount a long, drawn-out story. The tale became so lengthy that everyone grew weary. Yet, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, remained standing calmly, holding his hand in his own, listening to everything. Ultimately, Mia Jan Muhammad Sahib himself, who was the patient, said, "And now my mouth has become dry. I cannot speak further. I have been speaking for such a long time, and you continue to listen." Upon this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, observed that very well, you should proceed to the guest house, eat and drink something, and then having related your condition to Molvi Sahib, i.e. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, take some medicine from him. Accordingly, this individual, having refreshed himself, presented himself before Molvi Sahib, i.e. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, and commenced the same lengthy tale. Hazrat Molvi Sahib swiftly wrote a prescription and handed it over. He had only narrated a little when Molvi Sahib understood, since he was a physician, and understood what the illness was. He wrote the prescription and said, "I am aware of your ailment and there is no need to hear its details." And though he took the prescription but remarked that they used to say that Molvi Nuruddin Sahib possesses excellent morals, but what comparison does he bear to the morals of Hazrat Mirza Sahib? This had such a profound effect upon him that he pledged allegiance. Previously, he had not pledged allegiance, but did so because of this. It is said that the late Dr. Ibadullah Sahib narrated this incident in his presence, and he, Ayjan Muhammad Sahib, also confirmed it. Similarly, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes that Master Allah Ditta Sahib has related this account through writing that on one occasion, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was seated in the Ahmadiyya building in Lahore when a frail, weak, elderly person named Mustaqim arrived from Sharakpur Baini to meet with the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Amidst the crowd of people, he could not reach the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and called out in a loud voice, "Your Holiness, I have come only to meet you." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, directed that allow the respected elder to come forward. He was an old man, but he could not stand up properly. Upon this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, directed that do not cause distress to this elderly gentleman. And then the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, himself stood up and came to him and sat beside him. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib relates from Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib that when the promised Messiah alayhi salam once proceeded to Dera Baba Nanak in the company of his companions in order to see the Chola of Baba Nanak Sahib, the members of the Jamaat spread some cloth beneath a tree and sat there along with the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Molvi Muhammad Ahsan Sahib was also among them present. When the people of the village heard that the promised Messiah alayhi salam had arrived, they began to gather there. And of those who arrived first, a few mistook Molvi Muhammad Ahsan Sahib for the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and shaking hands with him, sat down. After three or four persons had thus shaken hands, It was realized that they were under a misapprehension. Thereafter, Maulvi Muhammad Hassan Sahib would direct every such person who came forward to shake hands with him towards the promised Messiah alayhi salam, saying that the promised Messiah alayhi salam is seated here. As the Sheikh Abdul Qadir Sahib writes, that his elder son, Hazrat Mirza Sultan Ahmed Sahib, used to say that his father did not spend his life as a Mughal nobleman. Though he was of a noble descent and a Mughal by lineage, he lived the life with utmost simplicity and meekness. Kanaiya Lal Sarraf of Qadian relates that on one occasion the promised Messiah alayhi salam had to travel to Batala and instructed him to arrange for a horse carriage. When the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam reached the river, he remembered that something had been left behind at home, and he left the driver there and himself returned on foot. Meanwhile, the driver found other passengers at the bridge and proceeded to Batala. It appears that the promised Messiah alayhi salam then went to Batala on foot. Kanaiya Lal says that I summoned the driver and reprimanded him severely, saying, "The wretched man, if it had been Mirza Nizamuddin, you would have remained there even if you had to wait for 3 days. But because this is a righteous and dervish-natured person, you abandoned him and left." He further relates that when the promised Messiah alayhi salam came to know of this, he summoned him and said, "How could he have remained waiting for my sake? He received his fare and went on his way. Why did you wrong him?" The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, advising the members of the Jamaat, states that every person ought to strive to rise for tahajjud and should also include the qunut supplication in the 5 daily prayers. Repent of all matters that incur the displeasure of God. By repentance, it means that one abandons all such misdeeds and the causes of divine displeasure, bringing about a true transformation within themselves, advancing forward and adopting righteousness, i.e. taqwa. Reform your morals, for in this too lies the mercy of God. Refine your habits. Let there be no wrath. Rather, humility and meekness should take its place. Along with moral reformation, give charity according to your means. This was the guidance the promised Messiah alayhi salam imparted to the members of the Jamaat. Then he further stated, "It is necessary for the righteous to live a life of humility and modesty. This is an aspect of piety. That is, to live a life of humility and modesty, by which we must combat undue anger. To refrain from anger was the final and most trying stage experienced by many a great saint and the truthful. Vanity and pride stem from anger, and in certain cases, anger itself is the result of arrogance and conceit. For anger comes about when an individual gives superiority to themselves over another. I do not desire that members of my community should consider themselves superior or inferior, and behave arrogantly or look down upon one another. God knows who is superior or inferior. This is a form of neglect that reeks of contempt. And I fear that this contempt may grow like a seed and ruin such a person. Certain people meet those of high standing with immense respect, but truly great is the one who listens to a lowly person with humility, comforts them, gives importance to their opinion, and does not rebuke them in a manner that would cause them grief." Allah the Almighty states, that is, "Do not call one another by nicknames. Bad indeed is evil reputation after the profession of belief, and those who repent not are the wrongdoers." Explaining this further, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that do not call upon one another in a hurtful manner out of irritation, for this is the way of the sinners and the transgressors. A person who scoffs at another shall not meet death until they too are subjected to the same. Do not look down upon your brethren. When all drink from the same stream, who knows which of you is destined to drink more than the other? Worldly definitions cannot afford a person honor and greatness. In the sight of God Almighty, great is the one who is righteous. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Inna allaha alimun khabir. That verily the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous among you. Surely Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. May Allah the Almighty enable us to cultivate true humility and meekness within ourselves. And having entered into the bath of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, may we become those who act in accordance with the true teachings of Islam and fulfill its due right with sincerity and steadfastness.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.